Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast with Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Using an interview format, Pastor Bob will introduce you to men and women whose ministries are impacting this world with the gospel, and will also provide commentary and insight on end-time prophetic events we now see happening in the news. Now here is Pastor Robert Thibodeau.
Hello, everyone everywhere. This is Pastor Bob Thibodeau. Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast today. Let me ask you a couple questions. Is something missing in your marriage? Do you look longingly at the early days of your marriage, wishing you still had that quote-unquote spark? Do you wish you could just snap your fingers and magically return to the happiness of your honeymoon days? Don't lie. We all want that. Have you hoped for, begged for, even prayed to God for a return to a brighter, more passionate relationship in your marriage? Do you wish you knew the words to pray, but you just don't know what to say, or even if it's even possible? Well, my guest today is Bill Hutchison, who's been helping established couples, newlyweds, and those about to be newlyweds to find true happiness through God with their marriages. He's been doing this for over 38 years now. Praise God. Now, Bill has also written a book titled Marriage Happiness is Possible, and he's about to release a new book in April of 2020 titled Marriage Maximized, The Guide to a Purposeful and Passionate Relationship. After 38 plus years of helping newlyweds and established couples, Bill Hutchison is here to share with you how to have a happy relationship that God intended for your marriage. Help me welcome to the program, Bill Hutchison. Bill, thank you for taking the time to join us today.
Oh, thanks, Bob. It is such a pleasure to be here with you and with all of the listeners in the Kingdom Crossroad Nation here.
Amen. Amen. Now, the first question I always ask, other than that short introduction that I just read, I need you to tell us in your own words, who is Bill Hutchison?
Well, I'm a Georgia boy who wanted to be a counselor when he was in high school and college, and thought God was leading him that way. But God, who has a sense of humor, changed things halfway through his seminary career. And I think he did that because the woman that he had led me to and eventually married did not want to marry a pastor. She was a believer, but she didn't want to marry a pastor. And lo and behold, a month after we were married in January of 78, the Lord began to change direction in my life. So I became a pastor, but I carried into pastoral ministry this real passion to help couples. Part of it was I was an only brat. My wife was the oldest of four, and she said we needed more than the 30 minutes the pastor gave us in preparation. Seriously, it's just one of those things that over the years I saw the great need for my own personal need, but also the need of people I served. And so God had given me this desire, and I developed a process that 6 to 8 hours of FaceTime and 2 to 3 hours of some kind of fun homework. And that's how I work with nearlywed and newlywed couples. And then how I use a lot of that same stuff with couples who are already established, who are looking to improve their relationship. You know, I'm a coach. I'm not a counselor now. A counselor is one of those guys, gals who is specially trained and certified, licensed as a professional counselor. And they help people go back in their life to find blockages. You know, there are issues, emotional issues, whatever, in the past that prevents them from being everything God wants them to be today and to go forward. My goal is to take people who don't have those big issues, but want their relationship to be more like what God wants it, or they just see they want more in their relationship. So that's why I wrote the book Marriage Maximized. It's to take those marriages as they are and help them to be maximized to really enjoy what God intended. So that's it right there. I pastored for 38 years. I have been retired now for a couple of 3 years. And when I retired, God led me into this coaching, and thoroughly enjoyed it and love working with couples of all ages.
Amen. Now, first, congratulations on the first book, and even more congratulations on the book coming out in April of 2020. And we'll get more into that in a minute. But that's awesome, man. Congratulations on that.
Thank you. Thank you. Let me tell you, though, that what happened was I wrote the first book, which Marriage Happiness is Possible. And it was one of those things published as an ebook on Amazon. And then Morgan James Publishers, publishing house, picked up the book. And without changing it much, they decided we needed a new title. So it's basically the same content. It's just the Marriage Maximized will be in the bookstores in April. And eventually it will supplant the ebook on Amazon. So it's still the same content, and you can get that content. It's just a little different packaging.
Hey, man. Okay. That makes sense now. Okay. That's great. Now, you've been doing this for some time now, as you said, going on 40 years. In all that time, what have you seen as the number one problem that seems to destroy marriages?
Well, there are a couple of ways to answer that. And they're like, if I may take a different metaphor here.
Okay.
I go to the doctor, I have a fever, I have a stomach ache, and the doctor can give me something to lower my fever and to settle my tummy. But that doesn't necessarily address the deeper issue, correct?
Right. That's correct.
So I've seen a lot of things in couples not able to communicate, not able to communicate when there's stress, you know, don't know how to fight fairly, don't know how to actually disagree without becoming disagreeable. I've seen people who had spending habits that were destructive to a relationship. I've seen families where couples brought from their family of origin expectations or assumptions about marriage that were, well, they just weren't really reasonable or realistic. Now, all of those things, though, I try to teach people to sit on a foundation that is different because, and I'm going to say something here that I hope people will listen through, but most people who say they marry for love come into marriage with the idea that this is going to make me happy. Mm-hmm. And happiness becomes kind of the goal, you know?
Right, right.
And what I try to teach people is that God has his purpose for marriage, that if we embrace God's purpose for marriage, it will lead to happiness. If we embrace happiness as the goal for marriage, it will not lead to what God wants. So this is what I say. God did not create marriage to make us happy. He created marriage to make us holy.
Amen.
That then that means to be set apart for him. And that's a completely different paradigm for marriage. And if you want me to get into it a little bit, I will. But the idea here is if we do marriage God's way with God's help, we get God's result, Amen. Which is a divinely purposeful relationship and a deep and lasting passion. And I mean that not just in a spiritual way. I mean that in a husband-wife way, mm-hmm. but also it is the certain, the surest way to have lasting happiness.
Amen.
But that's like sprinkles on the cake. I mean, it's not even the icing on the cake. That's the passion. The cake is the purpose, right?
That's right. Amen. Now, I know the statistics bear out that probably less than 10% of the population, married or otherwise, attend church services more than just a couple times a year. I know as a pastor, you've seen the April and Christmas crowd, right?
Yes, sir.
But have you seen the pattern of increased marriage problems by those who do not attend church regularly as compared to those who do?
Well, most of my experience has been with people who professed faith. Mm-hmm. Now, for those persons, and there have been a number of them, who knew me in the community or referred to me from someone in the community who did not have faith as a place, it was very difficult for them to experience what God wanted because they didn't have a foundation we could build on. So we were dealing more with the, if I may say it this way, we were dealing more with the symptoms than with the problem, yeah. Right? Yeah. And I don't mean those people were problems. I just mean that until an individual, a couple, are willing to submit themselves to God and understand His purpose for the relationship, then they can't experience everything God wants to give them.
Yeah, amen.
And so I could help some with communication. I could help with a number of things, but I couldn't give them everything God wanted them to get to enjoy. So yes, that's true. But though most of my experience has been with those who claim to have that relationship.
Amen. Amen. Now, you state that happiness is not the goal in the marriage, and couples must realize both the divine purpose for marriage.
Yes.
As you said, the heavenly passion for marriage. Huh?
Yes.
They do this by what you say, learning to love selflessly as God loves us. Explain what all of that means.
Okay. I'm not going to preach because you'd have to take up an offering if I did. However, I'm going to take you to one passage, and there's several that I use to lay the foundation, the biblical foundation of marriage. But the primary one that speaks of selfless love is one that's not often used related to marriage. It's used related to following Jesus and discipleship, which is Luke chapter 9, verse 23. If anyone would follow me, let that person first deny self, then take up the cross daily and follow me. And what my wife and I have learned, and what I teach people, is that God's purpose in this marriage, and my wife's name is Mary Beth, my purpose in this marriage under God is this. I'm supposed to deny myself, in other words, not think about what I want or what I think I need, but to ask God, what is it that my wife needs? What are you doing in my wife's life right now? How can I cooperate with you and collaborate with you in helping my wife become everything you want her to be?
Amen.
And then to follow through with that. So it selflessness at this point, and you can see why happiness is not the thing. And mm-hmm. because if I came into this marriage thinking, well, Mary Beth is supposed to make me happy, then we don't have a covenant. We have a contract.
Amen.
Because the contract is between two of us, you know, and I say to her, I'll make you happy if you make me happy. And when we first get started in marriage, then we're moving toward one another. And then if she starts backing off or not doing what I think she should do, whether I've communicated that or not, but whether I think what I think she should do to make me happy, then I start saying, wait a minute, if you're not going to make me happy, I'm not going to put myself out either.
Right.
Yeah. And, but the way God intended it was this. If you can imagine, instead of a straight line with two points at the end moving toward each other, think of a triangle with three points. And God is at the top and we're at the bottom. And God is not asking us to move toward each other. God is asking us to move toward Him.
Good.
Yeah. And the closer we get to Him, automatically the closer we get to each other.
Amen. That's awesome. So,
in order for me to do that, though, I have to allow Him to humble me in such a way that I'm not thinking about myself. I'm praying about what He's doing in my wife's life. Do that, whether or not she does what I want her to do. And then I trust she's doing the same thing for me. And, you know, when it's working that way, that's the best of both worlds.
Yeah.
Because I'm giving 100% of myself to her. She's giving 100% of herself to me instead of us giving 50-50.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Trying to meet in the middle, you know?
Yeah.
There's no way you cannot be happy if you are giving 100% of yourself and receiving 100% from your spouse. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of it in a nutshell, that selfless love. You know, the New Testament, the Greek has four words in the New Testament that we translate with the one English word love. And there's the love between a man and a woman, a husband and a wife, and that's eros. And it's not just sexual, but it's that intimacy. There's the family love. that is between, say, brothers and sisters or parents and children, you know. Mm-hmm. There's the love between friends at Philadelphia. We've heard that. It comes from that, transliterated from that. And then there's agape love, which is right. The cross. God so loved us. So this kind of love is not an emotional kind of thing. It's a decision, you know. Because my emotions oftentimes are not in a place where I want to sacrifice for my wife.
Yeah.
But my will is stronger than my emotions because the Spirit is working through my will.
Amen. You talked about selfless love. Tell us the connection between selfless love and selfless happiness.
Selfless happiness is the happiness that comes from the result of my giving myself under Christ to my wife and seeing what He's doing in her life. And when God is pleased with what's happening there, I get His smile on my heart, right? Mm-hmm. But it's also, as my wife is giving herself to me, and she is sacrificing in order that God's will can be done in my life, then that makes me feel so loved. My goal is, when my wife feels loved, not just to feel loved by Bill, but to feel loved by God through Bill. And when that happens, when there's the sacrifice that takes place, when she feels truly valued the way God values, you cannot help but then experience that emotional response we call happiness.
Amen.
So it's about valuing the way God values us, but I have to get myself out of the way to value my wife the way God values her, you know?
Yeah, amen. Now, we can tell you have a passion, a godly passion, to help people have a biblical marriage. How do you help a couple, as I say, pull together a marriage that's falling apart?
Well, we have tried that many times and been successful sometimes and have not been successful. First of all, let me say that I believe God's power is greater than my foolishness, okay? So I can do some crazy things. I suffer the consequences of those crazy things, but I can be forgiven and restored even with the consequences, right?
Amen. Amen.
But there are times when couples have, they have allowed so much water to go under that proverbial bridge, or allowed the termites to eat at the foundation of their relationship so long that they have a very, very difficult time. Those are the ones whom I often have to refer to a Christian marriage counselor. And there are several I work with and refer people to. But those who haven't allowed it to get that far, then what we have to do is go back to the beginning. And I mean two beginnings. Number one, we've got to go back to the beginning of their relationship. When did you meet? What did you feel? How did that, you know, how did she make you feel? How did he make you feel? What was that happiness like there? And the reason we have to go back there is because there needs to be hope that we can have that again. So if I can still feel some of that, you know, if I can remember it strongly, okay. The second thing, and the more important thing, is we have to go back and check their foundation. Do they have a biblical foundation, or do they have a, you know, the typical foundation, the have they been trying to live on happiness all their life, or and that's something we do by ourselves, mm-hmm. or have they been trying to allow God to work in their life? Now, most of them have not. Most people don't understand God's purpose for marriage as revealed in the Scripture, Genesis chapters 1 and 2, Luke chapter 9, verse 23, 24, Ephesians chapter 5, verses 21 through 33, chapter very, very important foundational passages that reveal what this is all about. Mm-hmm. But if I can help people go back and we can agree that this is what God wanted for your marriage, He still wants you to be happy, but in order for you to be happy, we have to start by rebuilding the foundation.
Yeah, amen.
And once we start rebuilding that foundation, and it's a slower process because we've got to undo some things that were done. We have to forgive each other. We have to start over. We have to start listening to God differently. there have to be some changes. For example, most of those couples have not had, for example, a couple devotional life at all. They may have had their own personal devotional lives, but not couple devotional life. And I really encourage couples to do that.
Amen.
So that's the way we would start with that. And of course, beyond that, once they have agreed to that and submitted to God's foundation, then we have to look a little more specifically. How are we communicating? When we have conflict, how does that play out? Does money play a part in this? Does other family play a part in this? In-law relationships or something? And then we have to look at that and how God can redeem that part of the relationship between the husband and wife.
Amen. I like the analogy you have about, a car needs routine maintenance to run the way it was designed, and marriages work the same way. Can you explain what you mean by that?
Yeah. Next weekend, I will be winterizing my string trimmer, right? My lawnmower. Got to drain the stuff out of it, the old gasoline. I've got to change the oil in the lawnmower. I've got to do some things like that, because when I pull that handle the next year, I want it to be able to crank up.
Amen.
Now, the problem with most relationships, and I saw this in mine for a while. So, this is most everything that I have in my book, Marriage Maximized, comes out of my own personal experience along with my study and my experience with others.
Amen.
But my wife and I were talking about this yesterday. As I told you, I just turned 65 yesterday, and we were reminiscing. And we were talking about the first 3 years as I was a pastor. We were new parents, and how at that point, I was so engaged in trying to learn what it meant to be a pastor that I was not giving her support. I thought I could we were married and we were on autopilot, And I thought, well, we love each other. It's just going to be okay. But I didn't give the time to that. I didn't help her with our daughter. I didn't help her when she was going through postpartum depression. I was over here trying to do this thing instead of being over here trying to be available to her. I was trying to be available to everybody at the church. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I find a lot of people, and they don't have to be pastors. Most of us are not pastors who are listening to this, but most people think relationship like marriage, because we've loved each other and we were happy one time, that it's just going to be on autopilot.
Right, right.
And what happens is, because we are not intentionally helping each other, we're not sold out to this God's way of building the relationship, which is sacrificing so that His will can be done in my spouse's life. We wake up one day and realize, wow, we're not close anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah. And if you see that, you see it during empty nest, for example. There's so many people, when the children who were the glue in the relationship are gone, they don't have a relationship lasting there, and they have a difficult time. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't just take that. It can be any time in a relationship. But so there needs to be this time. And let me just give you one example for my wife.
Okay.
My wife, are you familiar with Gary Chapman's Five Love Languages?
I've read that book, yeah.
Okay.
Been a while. Well,
I use this extensively because it really, really fits well with a selfless love concept. But my primary love language is physical touch. So I can get a big old sloppy kiss from my wife and a hug and pat her on the behind. And, I'm energized. Now, my wife likes that, but that's not what she needs. My wife is a quality time person.
Okay.
She needs at least 15 to 20 minutes from me every day, knee to knee, nose to nose, telephone off, TV off, books down, totally giving my attention to her. That's the way she best feels loved. So if I'm going to make my wife feel loved, that's how I do it. Now, if there's a stressful time and she's undergoing particular stress, then she may need 45 minutes or she may need 30 minutes twice that day. But by general rule, if I sit down, deny myself, which is my physical touch love language, and take up the cross, which is God's purpose for her, and love her in such a way that she truly feels valued, then we don't have to worry about those stressful moments or when our daughters were gone. We had a relationship that it's even stronger now than it has ever been, and it grows stronger because we've learned that we have to, she has to give me the physical touch. I have to give her the quality time. We don't do it by way of comparison, you know?
Right, right.
But we don't always do it perfectly, we are doing it now, both of us in retirement, and it's a blessing and a beautiful thing.
Amen. Well, Bill, I know some people can't listen all the way through to these interviews, so I want to give you an opportunity right now. If someone wanted to get in touch with you, how can they do that? How can they get in touch with you?
Well, first of all, you'll have in your notes here a website, www.selflesslove.net. / and that will be the KCR, Kingdom Crossroad, the /KCR, and they can touch that, and I will be happy. For the first 25 people who contact me will give me their first name, second name, their email address, and their snail mail address. I will be happy to send you a copy of Marriage Maximized that's not even in the bookstores yet. Free of charge. You just give that to me and I'll send it. Obviously, you can go to www.selflesslove.net. That'll take you to my website. And I have a place there where if you'd like to make contact with me, I would love to sit down and give you a 30, 45 minute obligation free, no pressure, discovery call. You know, what's going on in your marriage? What do you want this marriage? What do you think the Lord wants in your marriage? What'll it take to get there? Can I help you get there? And we'll talk about whether the Lord has called us to walk for a season together, you know?
Amen. Amen. So you want me to use the contact form on the website to reach out to you?
Do that. And, okay. And it will be there. A calendar. You can just go to the calendar, click that, and it will take you, and you can choose a time that fits your calendar, and or you can just order the book with the website and the landing page that I give you.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. All right. I'll put all that contact information down in the show notes.
Hey everyone, Pastor Bob here. We are all out of time for today's interview with Bill Hutchison. Now, with almost 40 years of experience in helping couples to work through problems and to build an increase in passion and a relationship and a renewed strength in God in their marriage, folks, you need to contact Bill. The information he provides, he's been dropping value bombs in this interview. I hope you realize that. But come back tomorrow because we're only partway through this and we're just getting into the good stuff right now. In the meantime, go down the show notes, get the contact information with Bill, go ahead and order his book, let him see how he can increase the value and the love in your marriage. Till tomorrow, as Pastor Bob reminds you, be blessed in all that you do.
Are you a Christian entrepreneur, coach, or author with a message that needs to be heard? Picture this, your voice reaching thousands, your story inspiring hearts, and your business flourishing like never before. Introducing Faithcasters, the ultimate platform that connects faith-driven professionals like you with the power of podcasting. Become a sought-after guest on faith-based podcasts. Share your unique insights and connect with like-minded individuals who share your passion for faith and entrepreneurship as well. Imagine your expertise reaching a wider audience, expanding your network, and propelling your business to new heights. Well, it's all within reach with Faithcasters. So don't wait. Take the first step today on your journey to greatness by visiting our website at faithcaster.org. That's faithcaster.org. Join the FaithCasters community now and unleash the full potential of your faith-driven enterprise. You do not want to miss this opportunity. FaithCasters, where faith meets podcasting and your dreams become reality. Visit faithcaster.org. Let's soar together. And remember, anyone can be a podcaster, but only a Christian can become a FaithCaster. FaithCasters, your voice, your platform, your success.